Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, episode 118. I am one half of your hosts, Mark Davis, and sitting across from me, another beautiful week, is Lee Bretschneider. How are you, Lee?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Quizmaster Lee Bretschneider. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bump you down. I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. I'm doing good.
That's good. We're here on a Friday evening recording our episode, joined by returning guest Justin Peterson. Welcome back.
Hello,
my friend.
Yes, Brothar. You called me off the bench.
Yeah.
Late inning replacement, Justin Peterson.
I love it. I called you up on the phone and I said, "Are you free?" And you
I said, "Do I have to put my pants on?"
We were scrambling.
Like I said, "Do I have to put my depends on?"
Do I have to put my depends on that pants?
And we said, "No. No, you could do this pantsless, this podcast."
Well, and you know what? I am.
And we called we called some heavy hitters. We tried calling in a couple past guests. We had decided.
Oh, well, hold on a second. Don't tell
them. Are you telling me that I'm the only guy that answered the phone?
No, you're the only one that said
that
yes.
That does not make me feel great. I mean, this is a real bummer way to end a Friday night.
Look.
Justin, you definitely weren't our fourth or fifth person that we called.
Don't worry about it. The fact that you're on the list at all, of course, I wasn't.
I was the first one on the list, I guarantee you. Yeah, you were.
We are so happy that you're joining us, though. It's been too long since we've had you on. And
thanks, man. I'm happy. Yeah, to be here.
We're looking,
even if I'm the fourth or fifth or seventh choice.
Yeah, looking forward to quizzing.
Actually,
with you.
Jamie Carmichael just called me. Can we let you go? We're gonna have him on instead.
I'll you know what? I'll see you guys next time.
No, Jamie will be too good for this episode. I think I got some categories here that he would be too good for, so we can't have him on.
Yeah, we're gonna have.
He's gonna
really
be on
bad.
When he doesn't know the answers.
Just let me know when you
have,
need.
And we told the people that that Justin will be all time sussing.
We have not, but they know now. There you now go. They know.
Now you know. Here it is.
He's in the susser's chair.
This is a newer thing that we've done a couple times. We've had the, that's kind of the beauty of being able to have someone on last second. They don't have to have questions. They just get to play all-time quarterback. Yeah.
Or pants.
And Justin is, he's a smart young whippersnapper.
Yeah, and we hosts get to sap off of his knowledge during each other's questions. So it's great. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Thanks for letting us sap.
Sure.
Justin,
and happy to be here, the seventh guy that you called.
You guys are going to sap up here for some categories that I have for you. Reality television, web series, famous composers, Academy Awards, Weird Al. I know you guys are fans of Weird Al.
Singer.
Got a Weird Al question for you. Geography, and who doesn't like sandwiches?
Ooh, finish my sandwiches.
I mean, I'm a big sandwich fan.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, I got a tasty question for you.
I have no idea what questions I have. I have literally 3 weeks worth of unanswered questions or unasked questions, and I'm just going to pick from them at my own free will. So,
a smorgasbord.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Potpourri. Nonstop potpourri. Potpourri.
And Justin
favorite
has nothing.
Category on Jeopardy.
Except for that brain. Justin, real quick, who do you got winning the play or the World Series?
I would love to see the Miami Marlins go against the Tampa Bay Rays. My Miami Marlins. But I think it'll be Dodgers Rays ultimately when it's all said.
And who's going to take it all?
I think it'd be the Dodgers in seven, probably. The Dodgers just have a really strong team. I would love the Rays to go and win, though. That'd be fantastic. I don't think the Marlins have what it takes. They're a young team, but they swept the Cubs today. Oh. So I'll drink to that.
Indeed.
He sips.
And
I sip.
It's like reading, what is it called? The movie script. He sips. When they have someone do a read, he's like, I'll sip to that. He sips.
Doing the stage direction.
Stage direction.
Yeah.
He sips. Mm-hmm.
He sips.
He puts it down.
He sips. We sap, he sips.
Tell him. Tell That's Lee. Right. Tell the people.
Before we sap, let's go over our weekly wrap up.
Ooh.
Shall we?
Yikes.
We shall, yes.
Mark, how was your trivia on Wednesday evening?
Daddy, is the jazz music playing?
Yes, son.
because I can't hear it, Papa. We had a good turnout on Zoom and in person. The first round went to Tom Marcus, which is Tom Nobles, our good friend of ours, and Marcus, who represents Captain Lawrence Brewery, who have been kind enough.
Scared that was one person.
they're like a two person Voltron, who won the first round with 19 points. The second and third round, Elise and Seth were there making a power duo. Another two-person Voltron. Three men talking at the same time is my least favorite sound. Winning the third round, or second round, with 36 points. And the third round with 64 points. Which beat everyone on Zoom and in person by 2 points. Beating Whiskey Tango. Or I'm sorry, Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt by 2 points. And Whiskey Tango by 8. So, good wrap up. There was like this apothecary kit that someone had donated that was had like wine and all this stuff and like eyelash extensions.
Palace Pub?
It wasn't Palace. No, I'll have to. Well, maybe Palace put in on it, but I think it was.
I think they did.
Yeah. Maybe it was
a
bunch of people putting stuff together or whatever. But very, very cool of them to do that. All the places that put in on that basket and ended up giving that out instead of the $25 bar tab. Hopefully no one was mad, but yeah. How was your Thursday?
Sounds nice. Thursday was great. We had quiz 77 and 78. Grandtastic Glenn won quiz 77 with 107,115 points, his 21st win, I believe. And Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt won quiz 78 with 75,147 points. We had an audio round that was wrestling themes that also went to Grandtastic Glenn. I'm sorry, that was his 21st victory. He did 20 for 77. And he also got the wrestling theme audio round, 156,463 points there. And then we had a surprise stream on Friday night, right before we recorded this episode. I decided to hop on and do some extra quizzes this week.
How'd that go?
So it went well. H-Bomb and Friends showed up and won quiz number 79 with 171,586 points, which I think is our highest score since maybe April. And then quiz 80 went to DLR Addict, which I believe is one of our listeners, Andrew, 185,167 points. I hope that's Andrew.
Huh.
Or I hope that Andrew is DLR Addict, rather. And audio round, we had TV show theme songs. That did go to Whiskey Tango DC. They logged a victory there, 145,039 points.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So nice week with trivia. If you want to play Nice Guys Pizza this week, you can do so. You can just go to Nice Guys and play in person with Mark, or you can play on Zoom. You can check out the link in the show notes. That's at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. And if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks, you can do so by visiting twitch.tv/No Nonsense Trivia, where we will be streaming on Thursday at 8 p.m. Make sure you follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media to stay updated on all of our podcast streams and events. Join us.
Won't you? Justin, you don't have much to do here.
Yes.
The least you can fucking do is say, won't you, with us. I mean,
sorry. I didn't know if I was allowed to chime in.
No.
Of course.
What the hell is this?
I'm really bad at harmonizing.
You just got to give yourself to the wind, my brother.
I just saw a meme saying that Trump getting COVID is something that happened because of witches. This has gotten out of hand. I just need to publicly go on record to say just enough already. All right.
Well, I mean, if any year was going to have a president get sick, wouldn't it be this year? And also sick by witches.
Trump getting COVID on the
sick
first
by witches is the new Motley Crue album title, I think.
Trump getting COVID on the 1st of October during a full moon. The witch girls are not slick. And someone was like, subtlety is not my specialty. And it's like, do you really think that you gave President Donald Trump coronavirus?
Yes, Mark, they do.
Please.
They do.
Fine if you want to do it for fun. It's a fun thing. And I like the aesthetic. And goth chicks are pretty hot. But I mean, do we really need to?
When your religion is reduced to a total object, fine.
Man, if I only knew those girls hanging around the bell tower at Mariner were eventually going to get Donald Trump sick in the year 2020, I probably would have.
Just
hung
so
out
I can
them.
Be clear, I do not yes. consider this like this kind of witchery or Wiccanism to be like conflated with the actual religion. Just so we can be clear, I would like to think that I don't know. I'll shut up before I say something stupid.
You really cleared that one up, Mark. You wanted to make yourself clear.
I feel like there's a difference between people just saying like, "Oh, I'm a witch and I got someone sick," and someone actually being Wiccan. I think that there's a lot of hobby witches out there, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a total gradient. You've got both extremes sure. and everywhere in between. Absolutely. People that believe, yeah, I'm do.
Hey, hate to break it to you. Subtlety isn't my specialty. It's like this person really thinks like, yeah, I burned some ever ember and wish that he got it and do, he did. And oops, my bad. It's like, so you really, hold on. Do you really think that? Because I hope you don't. I hope you don't.
Do. That's an audio daily double.
do. No whammy.
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back with some trivia with Justin in round one.
All right, I'm sorry. Are we about to record? Sorry.
Are you guys ready for our first round of trivia?
All right.
I'm ready.
Here's your first question, boys. Arthur K. Spud Mellon and Richard Knurr reinvented and popularized what toy in 1958 that has been used by children and adults since at least 500 BC?
Spud Mellon and Knurr. Classic toy inventor duo, Spud Mellon and Knurr.
So, all right. It can't be complicated, right? Because it's been used since 500 BC. Is that what you said, yes. Martin?
You know what?
In the 50s.
You know what was used around 500 BC by the Filipinos? Yo-yos.
Reinvented it. Well,
by reinvented, I basically mean like...
They brought it back.
When you say used, could used by adults and children... It's not just like you can actually interact with this toy.
Yes.
Well, what's a toy but interactable?
Well, it's I mean, I'm thinking like, wall. Okay, my initial reaction was like,
the what pet an rock, artist
but
answer.
That's not a toy.
You think they had pet rocks in 500 BC?
Yes.
Yeah, they're called rocks.
All they had was rocks was in 500 BC.
No internet.
That's all that. No internet. All they had was rocks.
Didn't even have UHF.
I mean, to be fair, I don't have internet right now myself.
Better get a rock.
Better go outside and get a rock for me, baby. I got no internet. Yeah, I think, I mean, a yo-yo, although I feel like I remember, I don't know. Do I feel like I remember like the yo-yo inventor's name or who, you know, made the yo-yo famous? What's the famous yo-yo that they sell?
Oh,
what's that one?
It's not Klutz.
They have a kiosk at Disney Springs.
Famous yo-yo.
Now, see, this would have been great for Erin to be in here, and I kicked her out of the room.
You fool!
This one's truly on me. Oh man, what the hell is that yo-yo called? Whatever. I think yo-yo is a good answer. I couldn't think of anything else that would be.
Kind of other toys would you have in 500 BC that would resurrect in the 50s?
Besides a pet rock in the 50s?
It's not a pet rock.
isn't it not a pet rock though?
Who knows what is there, like hieroglyphics showing a pet rock from 500 BC? Like, what is the documentation? Some stone tablet? Like, I am the toy. I'm the pet.
Horsey sauce.
Don't engrave me. Don't write on me. I'm a pet.
Horsey sauce.
I was waiting for you to stop so I can make that joke. Thank you. Yo-yo. Like, all right, 50s. A toy. Boy, I don't know.
Yo-yo.
Yo-yo is pretty 50s. Yo-yo is pretty 50s.
Yo-yo. Let's go with it.
I'm afraid that's incorrect.
Was it the Pet Rock?
The Pet Rock was 1975, by the way, by an advertising executive named Gary Dahl. He opened up a bar with the money that he got from the Pet Rock called Carrie Nations. He continued to work in advertising. However, he avoided interviews for years because, quote, a bunch of wackos harassed him with lawsuits and threats. In 1988, he said, sometimes I look back and wonder if my life would have been simpler if I hadn't done it.
If I hadn't gone outside and got this rock out of my yard.
If I hadn't said, this rock is now a pet. If I haven't made that executive decision.
Now pay me so you can have your own pet.
The correct answer is the hula hoop.
Oh.
The hula hoop.
So 50s.
Didn't they
50s.
Make a Coen Brother movie about this? It's for kids.
Maybe.
With Tim Robbins.
The Hudsucker Proxy?
That's it. The Hudsucker Proxy.
It's been a long time. They kind of had a 50s
transatlantic thing going on
in
that, right?
Maybe.
I got to get back in my A game here.
All right. Reality TV.
Great.
Category I got for you guys.
Here's your A game.
What rock star was featured on talking urinal cakes that were distributed across the United States to promote their reality TV series? And if you want a slightly easier version of that, I will give you the name of the reality series. But I feel like this is a fun fact in and of itself.
You look like you're close. Give me information you have, because I know rock singers.
What is it's like on the tip of my tongue.
Is it Sebastian Bach?
Are you thinking about that because wasn't he on The Apprentice?
I have no idea. I'm just naming rock singers that have embarrassed themselves.
Is this an embarrassment or is this a disgrace?
It's both. Sebastian Bach was Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Bret Michaels. Scott Stapp.
I'm trying to think of guys who were, you know, clearly like on reality TV shows. Was this a network show, Lee, or was it on cable?
Cable.
All right. So I'm led to believe then it's probably VH1.
That could very be Bret Michaels.
Yeah. Or any of those guys. Any like washed up 80s hairband guy.
I think Bret Michaels did something with reality TV. Rock of Love. Was that Bret Michaels?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't watch any of
them. Yeah, me neither.
I know, and I'm trying to, the urinal cake thing, I'm trying to think if I remember this as a specific thing or if this was like in some comedy bit on a, you know, sitcom that I'm remembering.
Well, I mean, it's got to be from the real thing.
Funny idea.
I can't imagine that as a comedy bit and reality.
But who would put the, who, what, well, anyway.
Do you remember what the urinal cake said?
Didn't it just have, I think it just had like his face on it, right? And
they were talking urinal cakes.
They were talking.
They were activated by peeing on the rock star's face.
Wow.
Can you read the question one more time?
Awful.
Sure. What rock star was featured on talking urinal cakes that were distributed across the U.S. to promote their reality show Family Jewels?
Oh, Family Jewels. That's
okay. That's Run DMC.
I gave you the easier version.
Right? Is it Run DMC? Or no, that doesn't make sense.
No, I believe it is Gene Simmons.
Oh, yes. And I bet you he likes to get pissed on too. I was going to guess Chuck Berry. Maybe it's like a flip-flop thing where it's like, oh, well, I peed on somebody on video. Now you can pee on me. All right, you want to say Gene Simmons?
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it's Gene Simmons. I'm
going to say Gene Simmons.
That's correct. Yes. Very good.
Thank you for fucking up, Lee.
Well, that's okay. You still knew it. You know, just that one little hint, though, is all it took.
Indeed.
That's all it took.
That just shows the difference, you know, in how you write the question, how you present the question. Even one little detail can... I'm trying to figure out what it said here. So it's a picture of him, and he's holding his index fingers up, indicating small size, I guess. He's doing one of these.
Oh, I thought it was like what I got from that. He's making like what looks like goalposts to me.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. That could be it too.
Pee in the goalpost.
It's kind of off center though.
I'm gonna say a controversial statement. I hate Kiss.
Oh, that's not controversial at all.
No,
I say yeah. That's a majority opinion.
A lot
I think.
Of people say yeah. They are the baby boomer version of the Insane Clown Posse.
I remember my dad, the Kiss Army. He was a DJ in the 70s, the mid to late 70s, when Kiss was like coming up, and he referred to them as a kiddie rock band, and they didn't really play them on his radio station. So I don't think they were ever taken seriously.
Hmm. Yeah, to me, I kind of have a Smiths thing where it's like, I don't mind their music so much, but their singer is just so obnoxious, you know?
Yeah, they've got some good
tunes.
Yeah,
the music seems fine, but the
well, let's not go crazy. They're head to head with AC/DC for like gross double entendres and sexual innuendos, Love Gun and all this other stuff, Dr. Love. I mean, they're not. Hey, they're okay. They'll.
Did you hear that AC/DC bass player Cliff Williams is coming out of retirement?
You did tweet about that, yes. And Phil Rudd is back.
They brought Brian Johnson back,
and
too.
Phil Rudd is back, their drummer, the one who tried to pay someone to kill his ex-wife.
Well, to be fair, he was on meth when he tried to pay for it.
Fair enough. When you put it that way, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But the bass player retired, right? So now he's coming out of retirement. Isn't that a case of bassy deceit?
Huh? You tweeted that, so I already knew it was coming. You've recycled a tweet. You son of a bitch.
Well, I didn't, you know, it lives on here.
If you haven't read the tweet, it's new to you.
Yeah, it lives on here on the podcast now. Bassy deceit.
I'm going to make sure.
God damn it. And
we're all thankful that it lives on.
I'm going to make sure that you delete that tweet. I want all the users, all the listeners to hashtag delete the tweet. And at
Mark
at Lee,
when you don't like my tweet, it only gets stronger.
I love your tweet
in my mind.
Here's your second question. This one goes out to Seth Ford. In World War II, Italian forces took the town of Sidi Barani in what country, but were defeated months later by British, Commonwealth, and Imperial troops who recaptured the port. Sidi Barani is two words, SIDI. Second word, BARRANI.
By British? By who is it?
In World War II, Italian forces took the town of Sidi Barani in what country, but were defeated months later by British, Commonwealth, and Imperial troops who recaptured the port?
British, Commonwealth, and Imperial troops. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait.
British, Commonwealth,
sorry,
and Imperial troops.
So where's Italy going?
Where was Italy going?
Are they going up to France?
Spain?
Mm-hmm. Are they trying to hook down through Egypt, maybe?
Wasn't there were World War II battles fought in Egypt, correct?
I think so.
Like, and the British forces were definitely over there.
I could see Italy going
in Africa.
Mm-hmm. I could see Italy going southwest, you know, to try and sneak up.
Well, I think, right. Well, I mean, that's sort of their, Italy is Southern Europe anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So that's closer than Germany, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Geography at 11 o'clock
same.
At night.
Same. Oh, 11 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock in the morning, 9 a.m.
Geography.
12 p.m.
That's right. Whatever.
Always bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think Africa's a...
CD Barani? Is that what you said?
Yes.
I think Africa's a solid, like, state, or not, well, solid state, like a solid start. Like, I think that's a good option. Just what country?
Morocco?
That was
the French, though, right? Isn't there a lot of French? He didn't mention the French at all. Algeria?
Egypt might be good. Egypt might be good.
Okay. Let's go.
I mean, we could sit here. I mean, we could start naming a whole bunch of other countries, but will we ever be right?
We could get to the hula hoop, but we'll go with the yo-yo. Let's go with Egypt.
Egypt is correct.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Look at us.
Man, and we don't even have Seth around to witness it in person.
You know, he's
going to be like let
down.
You know,
he's very happy in his
he's proud.
Spraying the back of some stranger's truck.
Wow. Very happy.
Not spraying it with his urine.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't thinking urine either.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking the happy juice.
Yes, the happiest juice.
That's how we feel when poop. We have Seth on and when we have Justin on. Thanks again for coming on, buddy.
Of course.
Lee.
All right.
Again, the ninth choice tonight.
You were probably like fifth. Bump yourself up a little bit.
I'm nobody's first on their favorites list on their phone, so I understand where I'm at in the grand scheme of things.
That's not true.
You've got Aaron, and that's a lot.
I don't even know if I'm probably Aaron's not. Number one on her favorites
probably
list.
Probably not. But,
you guys live together, though.
Yeah. She's
that's
probably
true. That's a stronger favorites list.
Yeah.
You know? The strongest.
Lee.
I don't know if I'm her favorite thing in the house, though, either, is the thing.
Probably not.
Wow. He's just as eyeballing all these objects around the house, like fucking couch.
I'm looking in my room like, what does she like better than me?
At least 20 of these tiki mugs, at least 3 bottles of rum she prefers.
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's a bottle of rum that she likes better than me. That's for sure.
A dildo that can lay dragon eggs made of Jell-O.
No, she likes me the best. She likes me the best. She likes me the best. She doesn't like these tour jokes. I apologize. She loves me the best.
Okay. Lee, I'm begging you.
Web series.
Cobra Kai.
No Cobra Kai, but we will have a Cobra Kai question on Thursday this week. Ooh. So if you want a question about Cobra Kai.
Spoiler alert.
Come check that out. This is a older web series. What is the name of the popular web series launched by Rooster Teeth Productions in 2003? That ran for 17 seasons and was made using clips from the Halo video game series.
What is that?
Justin has put his arms up in disgust.
I don't play
neither
video
do
games.
I, and I know this, I think.
You okay?
Red versus blue. Whoa, Lee went to go move real quick. I think it's red versus blue. You want to go with that?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Okay, we're going to go with red versus blue.
Hey. Gave it away. My movement gave it away.
Well,
but yeah, you would have known that. Yeah. You would have, yeah. Yeah.
It was funny.
Red versus blue.
17 That's right. seasons. Holy shit.
Never, I've not seen a clip from this.
It's pretty
ever.
Funny.
It is funny. Yeah, I don't even know that you need to appreciate or Halo as a video Halo. Game series.
I'm sure it gives a little bit of a bump, but...
I'm going to be honest with you. This is a little weird. I have only had like a YouTube like profile, like signed into YouTube as a user for like the first time, like a year and a half ago. Up until then, I was just like, you know,
no username,
I was just lurking. I was a lurker.
Wow. YouTube lurker.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have made a profile for myself a year and a half ago.
You just like made mental notes of all the videos you liked. No logging system.
Honestly, I didn't watch YouTube all that much.
Well, it's a whole new world.
Very strange. It really is.
Did you ever check out
so many dash cam videos? Huh?
Did you ever check out Cartnarks?
I have.
You still haven't finished it?
No. No.
God damn it.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. I'm
embarrassing.
Sorry. I'll watch it right now.
Check out
Cartnarks, everybody.
All right. Here's
the guy who annoys people who don't put their carts back. It's very important work.
Lee, I can't begin to tell you how many dash cam videos there are that I have to watch. I'm making my way through a series of them.
Are they all Russian right now?
So no, they're American.
The Russian ones are the best.
Sometimes they're British, and those are the British ones are the real best because they're just yelling at people in their cute British accents, calling them, you know, knobs and stuff.
Jog off, you knob.
Don't be a fucking cunt.
Learn how to drive, you knob. Oh, you dumb knob.
Here's your last question of the first round. In 2018, Taylor Swift became the most awarded female winner in American Music Award history with 23 awards, a record previously held by whom?
One more time.
In 2018, Taylor Swift became the most awarded female winner in American Music Award history. I said that weird. With 23 awards, a record previously held by whom?
You said American awards?
In 2018.
Not a specific award.
Yeah, American Music Awards.
American Music Awards.
Hmm.
Isn't the country one American Music Awards?
I think he just meant.
Or is that the CMAs?
I think he just meant American.
Right.
In terms of like awards that are American, right?
Heard.
Did you say American Music Awards, the AMAs?
Yes.
Is that what you meant? Okay, the AMAs. So he is talking about the specific AMAs. And how many did she get? 28 or 23? Which did you say?
She got
23. 2018, 23. So somebody had 22, it sounds like.
Or less. She just...
Well, if she got a couple that year, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Popular female singers who would have that many awards.
How long have the AMAs been around?
Isn't that a Dick Clark thing? Am I wrong about that?
He had American Bandstand, right?
Yeah, I feel... Yeah, no. Maybe I'm confusing those two things. How long have they
Welcome
been around?
Welcome to the American Music Awards, the not Grammys. Our awards matter as well.
Okay, big singers, right? Celine Dion?
I was thinking Celine Dion. I was thinking if we want to go old school, big hitters, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul.
Aretha Franklin, Cher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out. That's the only female singers I know. Aretha Franklin, Cher.
Madonna? Is Madonna an award?
Have you heard of Madonna, though?
Winner?
Is Madonna an award winner?
She's a Grammy Award winner, but I mean, is she getting like a ton of awards?
Well, Janet Jackson?
Yes, that's a great guess.
I'm
as
sorry,
well.
Hold on. Did you who?
Janet Jackson?
I thought he said Jana Jackson.
Jana? Have you heard of Jana Jackson?
You haven't heard of Jana Jackson?
Sorry, let me enunciate better for you, Mark. Janet.
Thank you.
Yes, I'll hard tease. Only hard tease tonight.
Love some hard tease. Also love some hard A's.
What are some...
You like hard tease?
Hard nipples.
Rock hard.
Mostly statues and museums.
I was singing a little...
He likes them in marble.
I was singing a little ludicrous before we started recording. I will sing another ludicrous line. Hard nipples colder than icicles. That's, there you go.
He's a true wordsmith.
Indeed.
By the way, the new Action Bronson album, Only for Dolphins, he has... I'm rocking out to this thing. There's like a ton of like comic book and wrestling references, and I'm enjoying it. But then he says some ignorant shit that I have to share with you guys. He says, I look like a character drawn by Stan Lee.
Ooh.
Now, Stan Lee was a writer.
Yes.
Not an artist. However.
Are you sure about that, Lee?
However, Justin and I bore witness to not only a drawing of Stan Lee's. Not only did we see Stan Lee make a drawing, but we saw that drawing then transferred to a human body in the form of a tattoo. And
tell me how good that drawing was.
It was terrible.
If I got that tattoo, I would consider wearing long sleeves every day.
Oh my gosh, it's cool because it's a Stan Lee drawing, but it is a no joke. Is it terrible?
Cool? No,
is it
cool? It's not.
Yeah, of course
cool.
It is.
No, it's not. It's not.
You cool. Guys are telling me that you don't want a tattoo of a 100% unique Stan Lee drawing that is
no
just
because he's not an artist.
A terrible that would be Spider-Man. Like,
and also that he's would dead. Be like it would me be really going,
oh, I got a Dolly
right
Parton drawing. It's like she's not known for drawing. Why would you get a drawing from her?
I think it's a cool tattoo.
Would you get a tattoo of a John Lennon drawing?
My point is, Action Bronson, that means you look bad. Now, the rest of the song is all these, you know, braggadocio things. He's talking about how awesome he is.
He did just lose a
bunch
of weight.
I don't think that's what he's going for. I just, I know he listens, so I just wanted to let him know about that.
Shout
in
out.
2018, Taylor Swift became the most awarded female winner in American Music Award history with 23 awards, a record previously held by whom?
I think Janet Jackson is a solid choice.
Janet Jackson. Mm.
Janet.
I like the
with
idea
the
of,
hard T's.
I like yes. the idea of Janet Jackson if the American Music Award started
one of those hard T's,
in
huh?
like 1970 something, 19
I mean, well,
but,
okay.
But if it's been around T's. For a while, if it's been around since
I don't know
like
how
the
long,
40s
the
or
Super
50s,
Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know.
That T was hard enough to keep that little sun on there. Isn't that right, Jana?
I don't know when the American Music Awards were invented or why.
1973. Because
Celine Dion is Canadian. It can't be her.
They were invented in
1973 because by Dick Clark, because the ABC's network contract to air the Grammy Awards expired. So they decided to put on their own show.
They went with the not Grammys.
Didn't yeah. You made a not Grammys joke, Lee. There you go. It's a Grammys knockoff by American Bandstand's Dick
Bandstand.
Clark.
Bandstand.
So 73.
I feel better about Janet Jackson now.
I mean, she had some big records, and they would have probably, you know, that award show seems to me to be a crowd pleaser, right? Like, we're going to give
like
the award to whoever's going to show up, you know?
Almost like the MTV
VMAs.
Music Video Awards before that, right? That middle area, the middle era.
I'm not confident, but
let's
I don't have it. A better answer.
Let's go with
let's
it.
Let's say Janet with the hard T, Jackson.
Janet Jackson.
That's incorrect.
Uh-oh.
Janet Jackson has 11 awards.
Well,
along
hey, that,
with
you know what?
Tim
That's
McGraw
not
and Stevie Wonder.
Not women.
No. Reba McEntire has 15, as does Carrie Underwood.
See, it's all over the place. Where do you stop?
We're going to find out.
The most so since 2018... She has also surpassed the person who had the most awards, who you can probably guess, Michael Jackson. He had 26. Okay. She now has 29. She surpassed a little someone that you guys completely forget who wants to dance with somebody.
Whitney Houston.
Damn had it. 22 awards and was surpassed.
Damn it. That's...
How did we forget Whitney?
And she isn't the leader in the awards.
Oh.
And dead.
R.I.P.
And she's dead.
Great.
And
well.
We've already forgotten her.
Yes.
Apparently.
I don't know anybody
no,
aside
No, that's
from-
on us. We should have at least, we should have acknowledged Whitney. That's terrible.
You guys didn't even guess
that's
Dolly
on
Parton,
me.
Which I thought is where you guys were
going to
go.
I was going to be fair, I was going to say Dolly Parton, but then I couldn't remember
her name.
If the AMAs, I couldn't remember Dolly Parton's name. That's right. I was going to say, I didn't know if it incorporated country into it, and that would have made it. I didn't want to go down that road.
They had a bunch of music people, Helen Reddy, Roger Miller, Smokey Robinson, different music people. Glenn Campbell hosted the country portion. The first Hollywood actor to host the AMAs in 1991 was Keenan Ivory Wayans. I'll have you know.
Cool.
It is pretty cool, huh?
Famous composers is my last category, round one for you guys. Famous composers.
Compose these
known
nuts.
For their work on West Side Story and On the Waterfront, who conducted a 1989 concert celebrating the fall of the Berlin Wall? Beethoven's Ninth, to be specific.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Justin's already trying to phone a friend.
I'm trying to phone a friend. I'd have no idea.
So we're looking at something that is Broadway based. Uh-oh.
Come here.
This is cheating.
Say the question again, Mark.
But it was on my question, so I'll let him say it.
I'll say it. Known for their work on West Side Story and On the Waterfront, who conducted a 1989 concert celebrating the fall of the Berlin Wall?
Is it Leonard? Is it Hammerstein? Or what is it? What did I say? Rodgers and Hammerstein? Or is it? Leonard Bernstein? Leonard and someone Bernstein? Is that it?
Story.
Wasn't there an Ira?
Welcome, Aaron.
Hello, Aaron. Ladies and gentlemen, quiz mistress Aaron Sullivan.
Hello. Aaron number five.
Aaron, quick question for you while you're thinking. How many things in that house do you love more than Justin?
He was wondering.
Zero.
There's at least one bottle of rum, Justin, he seems pretty sure.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's Smith and Cross, though.
Smith and Cross. Mm-hmm. I said there's some rums. There's some rums.
Leonard and Ira Bernstein? Is that a thing?
Did I just waste my phone a friend on this?
Apparently so.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, when you say the fall of the Berlin Wall in concert, I just immediately think of David Hasselhoff.
Oh, well, what?
Remember he was on the wall?
No. Nope.
I remember him on the floor after the hamburger.
I remember him in Kit.
No, he was like standing on the Berlin Wall, like
gyrating,
giving a concert.
I mean, here's the thing. Leonard Bernstein, the fall of the Berlin Wall. I can see some kind of connection with the whole Holocaust thing.
Ooh.
I'm going to suggest Pet Rock here.
Ooh. 1973.
Oh,
or was it 78?
Oh my gosh. 75? West Side Story was. Yeah, I don't know.
Great.
I feel really bad about it.
Don't feel bad. Look, don't feel bad. You didn't.
Everybody give it up for Aaron.
Yay.
Thanks for contributing.
You tried.
Now back to square one.
Listen, I did West Side Story for a halftime show, like my freshman or sophomore year, and I want to say it was Leonard Bernstein. Is it Ira is his brother's name or cousin's name or whatever?
Dude,
we're going to say
idea.
Ira and Leonard Bernstein.
I'm just looking for one name.
Leonard Bernstein.
That's correct. Leonard Bernstein is the answer.
There you go. Good
Thank
job,
you.
Mark.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Did it. You
Thank
did it.
Thank you.
I'm proving to be as helpful this time in this game as I was in every other one.
Do you
one
know if there is an Ira Bernstein, or am I insane?
I don't know.
Okay. That's fine.
Ira Bernstein.
We'll just look it up over the break. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Please, I need to reset.
He needs to refill this, this rum. Oh, Jesus, Lord. This rum drink.
Some famous podiatrist named Ira Bernstein.
Nope, not him.
That committed crimes?
Yes. Okay, that is him.
No, no relation, I don't think, to the composer. We're taking a break.
Yes, bye.
Okay, we're back, and we have, I don't know if we have any miscorrection. Oh, yeah, we do. We have a miscorrection and a no note here, but let's listen to one of these new themes from Mike.
Ooh, so now there's three of us.
Yes.
So let's listen to number three.
Yes. Is that the one from last week?
No. That one doesn't have the John Bonham drums.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Plus,
I just remember
the other one went a little
bit
longer.
This one's very dour as well. Oh, they're both very
well
sad.
Mike, maybe these themes are saying something about. Maybe this is Mike's wearing a yellow shirt during his Instagram video, telling us that he needs someone to come and help him.
Help me!
I got you, Mike.
All right, thank you, Mike, for that miscorrection theme.
Is that a free Britney thing?
Yeah, wear the yellow again.
Yeah, please.
if you need help, save Britney. Anyway, we have a miscorrection here from Seth. Let's take a listen. Seth called into our hotline.
Hey, Lee and Mark, this is Seth calling in because I have a miscorrection about last week's episode. The final question that I asked you guys, which of course always on the show, it's a World War II question here on episode 117, and I asked you that Japan had expanded their empire unabated. They didn't really have anything stopping them from the 1930s when they started until this battle in 1943, and you guys had guessed Midway, and I said that it was Guadalcanal. I meant to say land battle, but I did not say that. Guadalcanal was a land battle, and Midway was an air battle. But that was the first battle that the Allies won, and that kind of stopped. It was the first stop of the advance of Japan. It was in June of 1942, so you guys actually got a final question right. I thought that was big. I thought that was important. Of course, I strive for accuracy, and that's completely important. Thanks so much. I hope you can all forgive me for getting that wrong. Questions should be said right. I hope you guys have a good episode 118. Talk to you again soon. Take care. Have a good one.
Okay.
Hey, don't ever apologize for us getting a World War II question right, please.
Yeah. Okay. So he meant to say the first land battle.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which would have been Guadalcanal, but Midway was first, I guess.
Yeah, or bigger. One of the two.
Nice. Well, thank you, Seth, for clarifying that. And we also have a no note here from Stuart from Columbia, South Carolina. Stuart writes, "Hey guys, just a little note containing some thoughts as I've been putting together trivia for my coworkers. I have some girlfriends that get together for trivia every few weeks, but recently they've been complaining that the trivia host is too male-centric in their categories. Basically, too many sports, Star Wars, history questions. It almost never features any questions that are generally suited towards women. They still like going, but it is definitely something that bothers them. I've recently been putting together some trivia events for my work, and after hearing their feedback, I've noticed that I may have the same problem. I looked at the questions I wrote, and I saw that they were mostly questions that I would say don't favor one gender over the other, but there were definitely a few questions that are more suited towards the male side of the room. I think this is largely due to me wanting to write trivia that I already know the answer to, which of course is filtered by my male experience. For this upcoming event, I'm planning on purposefully trying to include some female-centric questions, but also feel like this may be seen as pandering. Just curious if this is something that you guys have talked about slash consider when writing questions. Obviously, I want trivia to be fun for everyone involved, and I don't want people to feel left out. but it's also easier to write trivia just by thinking about things I know about and then researching them further. Let me know if you have any thoughts or any tips on how to step out of my own brain and write inclusive trivia. Love the show. Stuart from Columbia.
Thank you, Stuart from Columbia. Justin, you want to handle this one?
I'll take it. I'll take it from here.
All right.
And that's our answer. Now
that's the answer. No, I think, I mean, you know, they say write what you know, right? So I think it's only makes sense that a male writer would write from a male perspective, and maybe those questions would obviously lean probably more towards sports. And when you say history, I don't think history itself is a male thing, right? Like, I think war, probably history questions probably skew towards more male.
It seems heavy. Like it should be gender neutral as far as like a study
history.
Yeah.
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 Right. Or just, I mean, but war is a boys thing, but I don't know what else to say about it. I'm kind of running out of steam.
No, I definitely thought it was interesting, sports being the first thing. But even with sports, I was like thinking about people like Kristen, who know a fair amount of sports. You know, I think that, it's complicated. I think that clearly, stereotypically, there are some things that are mostly male based, but unless you're saying stuff like, you know, talking about like stuff with the male anatomy that you'd know, because you're a guy.
Just from being a dude. Yep, yeah. Just from being a dude.
Right. And I mean, like, I want to say now that I understand that you don't have to have male genitalia.
Not even anatomy though. You know, I mean,
right.
In this day and age.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know,
So I what is a male question and what is a female question? I know guys that know loads about Gilmore Girls, and you know, to sit there and be like, hey ladies, here's a shopping question, feels a little weird to me. Feels a little
like Stuart mentioned, that
definitely feels pandering for right. Sure.
And so, you know, I think that video game questions, you know, is that a male thing? I don't know if it's right to say that. And then you have women that go, you know, you'll have women gamers who will say, this is not a male thing. I play. It's just you just decide
or non-binary.
Not to. Yeah.
Right. That's
probably, or, you know, it's like you just decide to, you know, not do it because whatever it is. Now, I mean, to say that there aren't more male gamers than female gamers, or more men that watch sports than women or whatever. I mean, obviously some of those things, at least now, are true. But like things like history, I mean, it blows my mind that someone would say that history is a male based topic. Is really interesting to me. But I mean, it's always a good idea to like try and keep the stuff that you talk about, you know, open. You know, if you're talking about music, maybe talk about all, you know, different genres and male and female musicians. When you're talking about history, ask about women as well as men. But to not ask about history, you know, if you're just asking a bunch of questions about fucking Christopher Columbus and other jackasses or whatever, then that's fucked up. But to sit there and be like, well, I've, you know, I'm not going to ask questions about history because only dudes like history. It's like, what the hell are you even talking about? That doesn't track with me.
Yeah. That's something I think, you know, I might notice it more in that, like, if I have a bunch of answers that are people and I just see like, oh, I've got six dude names here right in a row, I might try to balance that out, you know, in some way by swapping one of those questions out. But I agree. I think too, you know, keeping your topics localized, like to your players, like you said, Mark, you know, your players, you know, so, and I always poll my players for topics, suggestions, whether it be for live trivia or on the virtual trivia. So that ends up kind of taking care of itself, because you end up getting in a situation where you're getting, you know, all these categories coming through, and, you know, you might get stuff that's like history that might be, you know, in the middle of the road as far as like the gender goes. It's applicable to everybody. And you might get a category suggestion like Ulta Cosmetics, you know, some business that is predominantly sells to women, you know, and that might be a way to balance it out. I don't know that I would think I want to write a question about Ulta Cosmetics off the top of my head for trivia, but if one of my players is suggesting it, then that means that somebody who is planning on playing, somebody who's planning on enjoying the trivia is, you know, going to have at least one category that's kind of tailored to them, whether they be man, woman, or non-binary. So I would say, you know, poll the people that you, it sounds like, you know, you might know a few people who are going to be playing. It sounds like you have some girlfriends that you can ask, you know, for some category suggestions. I would just suggest ahead of time, ask them, you know, what are some things that you feel like you know more about than the average or typical person, you know? And usually people can come up with a couple category ideas based on that. And if they don't, they might say something like, oh, I don't know anything. I'm just like, I'm terrible at trivia. Then you can say, well, how about just some interests? And usually people can come up with at least a couple interests. And I think if you structure your quiz around that, it's going to naturally work itself out, and you won't have to think too hard about whether your questions are gendered one way or another.
Huh. Yeah, I agree.
Very well said.
Man, we're really good at this, huh? Real quick, before we wrap this thing up and tell everybody to write emails and blah, 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 blah. Just a really quick thank you. We just reached 300,000 downloads last week, I believe, with the Seth and Eric episode. So
congratulations,
kind of a
guys.
Weird, you know, just thank one you. Of those rounded off milestones. But obviously, we can't do it without everyone listening, so.
It's yep. not an insignificant number, that's
and,
for sure.
And we appreciate all the times you've shared the podcast and told your friends about it. You know, they've all helped us get to that number. And we look forward to making more episodes for you to download. But in the meantime, if you're listening and you hear anything that sounds not quite right and you want to write us with a rate my question, I'm sorry, a missed correction or a rate my question, you could do that too. You could send us your own trivia question. We'll rate it. We're going to rate one later on in this episode, or even if you just want to send us a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media.
Yes. Lee.
Yes.
Let's do this.
It is time. Academy Awards is the first category that I have for you guys, Academy Awards. It's a very awards heavy show tonight so far. Had the AMAs, and now we have the AAs.
Yes.
As they're known.
I was going to make an...
That's their nickname, the Academy Awards. People call them the Academy Awards, or they say the AAs. They have no other nickname.
Yeah.
No, none.
First being nominated for 1968's Valley of the Dolls, who holds the record for most decades in which to receive an Oscar nomination, and is also the most nominated person currently living.
Currently living.
What a great question.
Thank you. First being nominated for 1968's Valley of the Dolls, who holds the record for most decades in which to receive an Oscar nomination, and is also the most nominated person currently living?
I'm not 100% familiar with that movie. But is it Clint Eastwood? Is Clint Eastwood in that movie? Because he's still alive. And he still gets Oscar nominations. And he's old as shit.
Maybe, but Valley of the Dolls?
I don't know why that came up. I mean, who else is... Who's like a super old actor who's transitioned into directing, who's still getting nominations, who's still alive?
Valley of the Dolls. Who in the fuck was in that?
I would call on Aaron, but I've already used
you fucked up.
Phone a friend. I've already used my phone a wife, and she's knee deep into some YouTube sewing show right now.
Valley of the Dolls. I that makes me, for some reason, I think it's an actress. Could it be a director?
Okay. I mean, it could be.
Who in the fuck did Valley of the Dolls?
It wasn't David Fincher.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure.
He was three when he directed it. first Oscar nomination for a toddler. I'm sorry, first AA nomination.
First double A nomination.
My favorite battery.
Hey guys, are you watching the double A's tonight?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our my favorite battery.
I like to walk down the double A red carpet.
You walk down the RC at the double A.
That's right. I was, just, again, taking the joke out of my mouth.
We got joke twin brain.
It's happened before. It'll happen again. I'm going to, I think Clint Eastwood's a good answer, even though I have no proof that he was in Valley of the Dolls. And it's a little sexist to think that it maybe is a female because you hear the word dolls, Mark.
Whoa.
You're like, I think it's a female. I think it's an actress.
If it ends up being an actress, I'm going to rub your fucking nose in it like a dog's nose and shit.
Great. Like everything else that I have done, said or done.
Lemon.
It's a great song.
Come on.
Come on, what?
Okay, let me be clear. First of all, Clint Eastwood is a great answer. I just want to say that.
I don't know why my brain thinks that he was in Valley of the Dolls.
Do you think he was? If you think he was, then let's go with it. But I just don't know. What is Valley of the Dolls about?
I have no idea.
yes. Beautiful. This is perfect.
Yeah. When he said Valley of the Dolls, I went Clint Eastwood.
We're going to say Clint Eastwood.
In my head.
No. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
I was wrong.
I didn't say anything.
Valley of the Dolls starred Patty Duke, Barbara Parkins, and Sharon Tate. And score by John Williams. John Williams is the answer.
Son of a bitch.
Motherfuck.
Yes, John Williams, who has been nominated for 52 Academy Award AA nominations. And Walt Disney actually has 59. So
good old Walt
Disney. John Williams has the record for most nominations currently living. We'll see. We'll just
that
see
one's
about
on
that.
Me, Mark. I,
what happened?
Tiki drink.
Oh, okay.
Tiki drink just came back on me.
came back to bite you.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your
he
next question?
He also holds the, oh yeah, sure.
No. He also holds what?
You want to know more?
Please.
Tell us more.
He also holds the,
do you want to know more?
He holds the record for being the composer nominated for best original score among most films in two different franchises. This is a very specific record that he holds. But 6 nominations for Star Wars and 3 for Indiana Jones. And he also holds the record for the highest grossing instrumental only soundtrack album of all time for 1977's Star Wars.
And didn't he, I mean, he, that's so crazy. And he didn't get any nominations for the Harry Potter theme.
Well, he did, but they're not, he only did 2, I think. Oh. He got 2.
Well, but isn't that crazy? Like, the biggest things in all the best music from the movies is one guy. It's just like that guy's brain.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's interesting. It's almost like everybody else isn't doing enough work or something. They got to, you know, pick up the slack a little bit.
Mm.
Know what I'm saying? It's all falling on John Williams' shoulders. A man can only take so much.
He's got to plagiarize people because he can only take so much.
Who did he plagiarize himself?
No, he's plagiarized quite a few people. I think we may have talked about this on this podcast once upon a time, a long time ago. He did some borderline plagiarism of Holst in the Planets for some of the stuff he did for Star Wars. There was some other stuff.
Yeah, but that's like old stuff.
Oh,
there's only so many notes. Old
stuff.
There's only so many notes. Here's your first question of the
second round. I'm not going to get in this conversation.
It's bound to happen.
NFL player Greg Zuerlein is known by what nickname?
It's not the Swiss Army knife. Because that's a... Well,
I'm going to grab a drink.
I don't know. Seth knew the answer.
I'm going to let you guys suss this.
Wow, look at this.
Out of drink. And honestly, this
we had a
this
break. Round I said, do we need a proper break?
This round has already gone on so goddamn long, and I'm on my first fucking question. I'm going to need a drink. So you guys suss.
Sorry about the Clint Eastwood.
Okay, you guys suss. Mess up. I'll be right That's back.
I screwed up the Clint Eastwood thing, and that lasted forever. That's on old Justin.
Don't be so hard on yourself. We're having fun.
It's fine. I don't remember.
No. I'm not playing by his rules. We're not going to suss until he gets back. Let's just bullshit.
What if we said nothing the
entire time? Well, I would just edit it out.
No, he's already back. Yeah. His refrigerator's not very far. What do you got there, Mark?
What's this guy's name?
Mike.
What's his name?
Greg Zuerlein.
Greg Zuerlein.
I should have read that question one more time before I get up.
Greg Zuerlein. Can we get a hint of what team he's on?
Who is he on now? He was for a long time on the Rams. He is now on the Dallas Cowboys.
Z-Man.
I have no idea. I've never heard this name before, I don't think. Greg Zuerlein.
No.
Sorry, Greg.
What position does he play?
I can't tell you that.
You can't tell us that?
Maybe his nickname has to do with the position that he plays.
It does.
Yes. So it's like quickie QB or something. It's always
Zuerlein. Yeah. Boy.
The Zuerlein backer.
I have no idea.
He played for the Rams and now he plays for the Cowboys. So Old Goat McGraw.
Old Goat McGraw.
Yeah, I have no idea. But he said it was related to his position, though. He said it was related to his...
All right, quarterback.
Is he the quarterback?
No, he's not the quarterback on the Cowboys.
Running back.
Defensive tackle. Running back.
Nickelback, because he always plays with a nickel in his pocket. Lucky nickel.
Equipment manager.
Is he a coach? He said player.
He did say player.
Maybe he's the kicker. Don't kickers get nicknames? Because they got nothing else to do. Can I play again? No. Just sit there and think about your nickname some more.
Just sit there and try not to screw up when we put you in the game, bub.
What are some good Z nicknames? That seems to be notable. Like if we had a guy on our team named George Zimmerman. No, what was his name? Greg
Greg Zuerlein.
Zuerlein.
So what are you nicknaming Greg Zuerlein? He's a kicker and his name is Zuerlein.
Laserfoot.
Z-Force. No? No Z-Force? Z-Force. Are you signed up for Z-Force? Is that what we're calling them?
Let's go with Z-Force.
Z-Force is your answer?
Yeah, I think that's a solid... No,
it's got nothing to do with this position. We can't do that. We know now.
Bob Gibson died.
Bob Gibson. Who's Bob Gibson?
I thought he died a couple weeks. Did he not? He just died?
I believe so, yes.
That's sad.
Baseball player.
Guitar Gibson? Oh.
Good pitcher. Great pitcher for the Cardinals. No.
Oh, okay.
No. Hall of Fame.
Yeah, pitcher. Just died today, 84 years old.
Mm. Man.
R.I.P.
That's crazy. Greg Zuerlein, the running back, Z-back.
That's better, I guess. I mean, Z-Force, Z-back. Let's go Z-back.
Is Z-back your answer?
Yes, Z-back.
That's incorrect. Guys, really? I was so excited for you, and I almost just like tried to rush you along earlier, but I didn't. I was like, I'm going to let them suss, and then you guys went with kicker, and I was like, here it is. They've got it, because you guys are both wordsmiths.
Is it
Z-foot? Rhymes with
is it old
what
Z-foot?
Rhymes with Greg?
Leg.
Greg the leg Zuerlein.
Oh. We you know
place
what
kicker we for got, the Dallas
Cowboys.
We got hung up on
the last Z-back.
You guys just and you're like Greg, right? I'm like yeah, and you're like kicker. Greg the kicker. I'm like
Greg the leg. We got completely hung up. His last name's so much more interesting than his first name.
Greg the leg's like Frank the Tank.
Yeah,
I guess he must be pretty good if his nickname is the leg.
He is good.
Because if he was bad at it, then they wouldn't give him the nickname the leg.
Is there anyone on the Dallas Cowboys that you know of that's called Z-back?
Maybe their running back is Ezekiel Elliott. You could start calling him Z-back.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna start tweeting that.
That's gonna
Z-back.
End up in the same pile.
Z-back is a new WWE wrestler.
That's gonna end up in
Z-back.
That's gonna end up in the same Twitter pile as bassist. It comes out of retirement. Would you say he's Basie DeCC or whatever the fuck you said?
Basie DC.
Oh yeah.
You have to say it with the right rhythm in order to get the pun.
Lee.
Weird Al.
Ooh. You had my attention. Now you have my curiosity. Or no, the other way around.
What television show is referenced in 3 Weird Al songs? Now, do you want all 3 or do you want to try and do it one at a time? See if you can figure it out.
We're just trying to think of the TV show.
Yep. It's mentioned in Amish Paradise. Okay. I'm going to give you at least one.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to be going through all the...
This is the worst. This is... I've already been chastised today for my lack of knowledge on Dr. Demento.
Is it a TV show?
Mm-hmm. It's referenced in 3 Weird Al songs.
Man,
I'm just gonna give you the question straight up.
Okay.
So our listeners, if you know it, Mark, I mean, you know, you get to flaunt that knowledge. We'll give Justin a fighting chance.
No, go
here.
Ahead and give it to us.
No,
give us a full question.
I'm hold on. To be fair, I am horrible. I am notoriously horrible about lyrics, so I probably haven't even heard it. Don't laugh.
Is Aaron laughs from the other room?
Oh yeah, she's just laughing in the kitchen.
laughing in the kitchen.
Laughing,
a memoir.
laughing in the kitchen.
What television show is referenced in 3 Weird Al songs? Amish Paradise, Stop Dragging My Car Around, and Isle Thing.
I keep thinking of him saying, I'll have to get medieval on your hiney, but that's not that's Pulp Fiction.
Does he reference the TV show name?
Yes.
He does.
It's the name of a TV show.
What were the other two songs? Isle Thing.
Mm-hmm. Isle Thing.
Stop Dragging My Car Around.
And Stop Dragging My Car Around.
And Amish Paradise.
All right. Let me drop this off to you. I'm just going to say this out loud before I like get deep in thinking about the lyrics. Isle Thing makes me think Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island.
Stop Dragging My Car Around was, of course, a send-up of Stop Dragging My Heart Around, the song by Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers that was used for the UHF soundtrack, I believe. Here's the thing. I don't really know a lot of the lyrics to any of these songs. Amish Paradise is my best bet.
I made a whole post about it on my Facebook page about how I don't know song lyrics.
Oh, good.
Even the songs that are like my favorite songs, like Lemon by U2.
Lemon. Do you remember the song Numb? Don't walk, don't
of course
face,
I,
don't
yes. find,
don't pay, don't ball, everything is just fine.
They have a crazy remixed version of that on their greatest hits record.
I did kind of like that song. There is a lot of U2 that I really, really like, just so we're clear. Classic U2, like Streets Have No Name, fucking With or Without You. God damn.
And Mark, I'm going to be completely honest with you right now. I hate Ween.
Okay. And that's fine. But there is a song that you like.
Still.
So. And there's and
is
and,
there
is yeah, there though? There is. And there would be more if you weren't being stubborn about it. But that's fine that you are, because Ween exists still and I love them. Let me see here. Something about raising a barn, then I'll raise another.
No, they're still Mark's sussing it, and I do what I do best, which is not know the answers to any of these questions. Which is why I was the ninth guy they called tonight.
Because that's what we need on the podcast. Hey, we always need one more person that doesn't.
Did you call John Lewis before me?
Hey, no, because we just had him on. Hey, and in full disclosure, we tried reaching out to Aaron, but we didn't have her phone number.
They tried
I'm just
calling
kidding.
You
I'm
first,
just kidding. I'm just have, kidding.
Oh, you
bastard. Oh, but that was good.
I'm pretty sure Lee has.
Aaron's can you phone tell number. Aaron, yeah, to give me her phone number so I can call her next time we need somebody instead of you?
Thank sure, you. I'll have her message it to you.
I'm twice as humble as thou art. Been spending most of our lives living in an Amish paradise. Churn butter
Mark's
once
getting
or twice.
Amish over here.
Living in an Amish paradise.
You guys are gonna get a takedown notice on this episode if he keeps yelling out the lyrics like this.
Let's just say Gilligan's Island. We're gonna say Gilligan's Island.
It seems like something he would reference.
That's correct.
Hey, all that
for nothing. All that for nothing. Tell me some lyrics.
There's no phone, no lights, no motor car, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, it's as primitive as can be. That's the reference in Amish Paradise.
And he did not say the name in that lyric. That's what was driving me crazy.
I mischaracterized it. I did say in the original question that it was referenced, but I gave you a false confirmation that he said it by name. Stop Dragging My Car Around, he does mention that by name. He says that he's at home watching Gilligan's Island. And Isle Thing is all about, it takes place in a Gilligan's Island narrative. So,
well,
good job.
I would like to apologize to all of my friends who are huge Weird Al fans listening. Like I apologize. Me. I'm sorry.
Let's play that sad miscorrection music that Mike sent in again.
Oh boy.
So sorry.
I'm sorry. Are you ready for your second question of the second round?
Yes, indeed.
Here it is. What does CPAP stand for? In the breathing apparatus used to prevent upper airway collapse as it cures in obstructive sleep apnea.
Oh, man. there's like a CPAP commercial that would play during late night Marlins games when they would play on the West Coast. That's hilarious. CPAP.
Well, what does C stand for in terms of like breathing, right?
No, this is the worst. Oh my God, I know nothing.
Is the AP apnea prevention? Could it be something like cardiopulmonary apnea prevention?
Hey, Aaron, what is CPAP?
I'm just going to keep asking Aaron, and she doesn't know. I don't know why I keep asking.
She thinks P is also pulmonary.
Okay.
And Lee thinks it's apnea prevention.
Cardiopulmonary apnea prevention.
Look at that. Yeah.
That's what she thinks.
It's crazy enough to work.
It's crazy enough to be
an acronym.
An answer.
I mean, I don't know why those are the four words that came to my head. I don't know if she could hear me, but those are...
No, she can't hear you.
Look at that. It's got to be close.
She's proud of herself.
Is that right?
We don't know.
Let's go with it. Cardiopulmonary apnea prevention.
I want to... Again, I only saw the commercials. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
That would be crazy if we both got it wrong the same way.
I was busy eating Chex Mix during those commercials.
Well, you should have been reading.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
That's incorrect.
Damn, that's crazy. We were both wrong in the same way.
Wrong in the same
way.
The
correct answer is continuous positive airway pressure.
Oh, that makes way more sense. I don't... Cardiopulmonary, this is, we're bringing in a lot of different parts of the body there. Into this machine that helps you breathe. Continuous.
Positive
airway
pressure.
Okay.
Cool.
Makes sense. It describes what it does.
But CPAP is so much more. It's peppy. We can sell that. We can sell CPAP.
I think people want to say positive. It sounds like hokey almost, you know? Like, yeah. Positive. What?
A marketing guy's like,
it means good for you.
I can't sell positive, but I can sell the shit out of CPAP. I can't sell positive. People don't want positive.
People are going to want CPAP smears.
But PAP. Mm-hmm. PAP. It's got a little pep to it. You know what I mean? I can sell PAP. I can't sell positive.
Give me a question.
It is fun to say CPAP. Geography. CPAP. Geography is the category. Is this a geography? This isn't a geography question. I don't know why I said this is geography. It's more of a history question. I am going to ask you about a city, though.
So male-centric of you.
In 1976, what city became the only in history to reject an offer to host the Olympic Games?
One more time.
In 1976, what city became the only in history to reject an offer to host the Olympic Games?
Philadelphia. 1776, that would have been the bicentennial.
What a great guess. What a great guess. Do you know where the Olympic Games were in 76?
I do not. I can't even tell you if they were the summer games.
76, is that the year Nadia Comaneci won? I just was listening to a podcast called Heavy Metals about the husband and wife coaching team for the American Olympics who previously to that they coached the Romanian team and how abusive they were and how awful they were and like starving people and blah, 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 blah. And they talk about Nadia Comaneci winning And I'm trying to think if it was an American city. I mean, I guess if they rejected it, didn't have to be another American city. It
wouldn't.
Necessarily.
It wouldn't have had to been. I mean, it you know could what, have been man? Somewhere else. I'm not
it's
sure.
It's just crazy enough to work. I'm fine with Philadelphia.
Well, think about all the things that Philadelphia had. I mean, I wasn't alive in 76, but you know, the 4th of July, and then you know the all the pomp and circumstances that they would have had going on during that summer. There's no way that they would have wanted to hold the Summer Olympics, but I bet they were asked, and I bet they turned the offer down.
Let's do it. Let's go with Philadelphia.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh man,
it was, by the way, the Winter Olympics in 1976. Well, and
Philadelphia would not have been asked.
Nope. And I should clarify, they actually rejected the offer in 1972. The games did happen in 76, but they moved from Denver is the answer, to Innsbruck, Austria. But Denver, city in history to actually reject an offer to host the Olympic Games after it's been made. Several cities have rejected the bidding process. Like, we don't even want to make a bid.
Right.
But Denver's the only one that went through the bidding process, was made the offer, and then they said, no thanks. The voters of the town said, this is just going to get out of hand. It's going to, you know, pollute and, you know, just kind of turn our city upside down. And we don't want it.
So what I just did was a fun trivia thing, right? Where in a group of people, someone will be like, I know the answer. They're so positive. They're like, it has to be this. And you just steamroll your entire team into losing.
Yep.
I've done that.
False confidence.
So I'm not on trivia teams anymore.
We don't know.
Somewhere deep inside, it's called being a guy.
Yeah. It's called believing in yourself, and I can't possibly be wrong.
Until you are. We know that feeling so well on the show here.
Yes.
All right. Are you guys ready? Mm-hmm. The name of which form of martial art translates to gentle way?
All right. You have
Qui-Gon Jinn.
You have Qui-Gon Jinn. You've got that's the only one I know.
Taekwondo,
thank you.
Judo.
Uh-huh. Jiu-Jitsu.
Capoeira, karate, judo.
I think you already said judo.
We did. The gentle way.
I took one karate class.
Did they say, welcome, you're about to learn the gentle way?
Gentlemen, ladies, the gentle way.
If I remember correctly, it was that there was a karate shop off of 47th Terrace. If I remember, that's the one I went to.
Mm-hmm.
By Cork Soakers. Let's just, you know.
The karate shop by Cork Soakers. What's the one that goes really slow? That's not...
Tai Chi.
That's pretty gentle looking, isn't it?
I think so. Until you rip out a man's heart right out of his chest, still beating.
Is that part of Tai Chi?
Is that part of any karate? Is that part of karate any martial art?
I was going to say, karate is one martial art.
Oh.
Of many. They're not all called karate.
Oh, interesting. I just learned that.
Tai Chi
seems slow, right? Like, that's the one where, you know,
it's very breathing. Slow and controlled. It's about breathing.
For those who can't see at home, I'm doing one move back and forth.
He's doing,
I'm kneading bread.
Do you guys remember the hit motion picture Johnny Mnemonic?
Yes.
Was it a hit?
Keanu Reeves. Yeah.
I believe I saw it as a VHS cassette. I don't know if it was a hit.
I do not know.
It was Keanu Reeves's first foray into the digital world on film when he became a mnemonic device.
His first foray into the digital world now on cassette tape at Camelot.
Why do you ask?
Video.
Oh,
is this a second trivia because question?
Because he does a Tai Chi thing in it.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I have a question inside a question. Have you seen the hit film Johnny Mnemonic?
Mnemonic tube.
Still electric boogaloo.
Tai Chi sounds like a good answer.
But could it be like an ironic name? Like it's like a super violent martial art. It's called the Gentle Way. Like, judo is the one with the hands, right? It's all hand. There's no kicking in judo.
I'm not a fan of all hand, personally. I'm just saying that out loud.
All right. Well, but as far as, you know,
all hand stuff,
not asking you to participate. Just suss with me. Is judo hand to hand?
I just need more than hand stuff. You know what I mean? That's my.
I get it.
I hope you left enough room for my fist because I'm gonna ram it in your stomach.
Which one did you say is all the hand stuff, Lee?
Is it judo?
Judo.
No, I'm not saying we should guess that. I'm just asking for clarification.
No, I don't know if judo is all hand stuff.
All right. Tai Chi, Taekwondo, Judo. I think
karate.
It could be any of those. Do you want to go Tai Chi?
I feel like I think Tai Chi in my mind's eye, right?
Yeah.
Seems gentle and controlled and, you know, slow, gentle. Nice.
Chi means energy, though, right? Doesn't chi mean energy, like life force?
All right, so we should probably rethink this then. If that's now you're coming up with a reason why we shouldn't say it.
That's the only thing. It seems like obvious because it's slow, but I don't know why. I think it's. I feel like it could be Taekwondo. What does Taekwondo mean?
Karate.
No. No, it means something else.
There's a point where he has to put his foot down.
Isn't it? Taekwondo is Korean, right?
I don't know.
You know the Taekwondo, like, dojos that they have, that isn't it usually a Korean flag that they have?
So that it, like that's what I'm trying to envision right now, right? Yeah. Like the back wall, they'll have a flag hanging up, right? Mm-hmm. Like a poorly hung flag. It's a little saggy in the middle. It's a saggy flag in the middle, right above all the mirrors. Is it a Korean flag?
Taekwondo. The gentle way. Taekwondo, the gentle way.
I don't think it translates like that. I don't think it's not a word for word translation. I don't think that's how that works.
Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Who's to say? Who's to say? I think you might be doing that thing again where you're like,
I think Mark's to say, I'm sorry. Philadelphia seems right for 1976.
I feel like, you know, I will apologize if it's Tai Chi. I will apologize, but I feel like it's not. I think it's all Taekwondo. Right.
I don't need you to apologize if it's Tai Chi. I remember we were saying, what were we saying? We were saying Tai Chi?
Wait. Wait.
Wait.
There's another one. It's another martial art. That our friend and former guest Luke Flannery from Cool Hand Luke's, he practices martial art, and it's like he had like a giant wooden structure in his living room that he would just beat the shit out of. Poof, 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 poof.
Nice and gentle.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't very gentle, though.
That was the joke.
Is Taekwondo gentle?
I don't know if any of these are gentle.
Tai Chi seems like the most gentle. I think we should go with Taekwondo, though.
All right.
Taekwondo.
That's incorrect. So Taekwondo is, in fact, Korean. Okay. That's your first mistake.
So
the name consists of the Hanja Tai, which means to stomp or trample.
Not gentle.
Kwan, which means fist, and Do, which means way or discipline.
Hmm.
Tai Chi is also a very good guess, but is incorrect. Tai Chi or Tai Chi Kwan is basically a term for the yin and the yang. Tai Chi Kwan is a fist system based on the dynamic relationship polarities between yin and yang. Tai Chi means...
So what you're telling me is that Lee and I just spent that entire time not knowing what we're talking about.
Yes, Tai Chi means supreme ultimate, in contrast to Wu Chi, which means without ultimate. The answer I was looking for, gentlemen, and you did touch on it, I would have guessed Aikido, which is another form of martial art where you basically use people's energy against them. So when they thrust at you with a fist, you just move to the side and like push them off to the side or whatever. But the correct answer is judo. Judo, gentle way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Damn. Sorry, I knew that was everybody. Rolling around in there somewhere. But I couldn't land on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys did touch on it. Like I said,
mm-hmm. I'm really bad at this game.
This game called life.
That's it for round three, or round two, I mean. Whoop, round two.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with some... do we have any rate my... We have a rate my question?
Yeah, we can get one together.
Rate my question as well as the last round of trivia.
We are back, and we have a rate my question. All right, we have a rate my question here from proverbial lightkeeper Matt. Actually, the subject line says Brad Garrett my question. I can't do a good Brad Garrett, though. So,
all right.
That's listen pretty here, good. Okay? Hey, gentlemen, gentlemen.
I can't do it.
Alan Bennett. Jonathan
I can hear
Miller.
Him in my head, you know? Like, yeah. That's the thing about that guy. You can hear him in your head.
Ray.
Peter Cook.
Ray, I can't believe you're doing this.
Ray.
I'm a cop.
That's yeah, even Ray, deeper.
Ray.
Brad Garrett, my question.
He's a Ray, big bastard. Ray.
Can't get that deep.
Tall drink of water. Tall drink of water, that Brad yes. Garrett.
Matt writes, gentlemen, Alan Bennett, Jonathan Miller, Peter Cook, and Dudley Moore created and performed what stage show that is widely credited as starting the British satire boom of the 1960s? Alan Bennett, Jonathan Miller, Peter Cook, and Dudley Moore created and performed what stage show that is widely credited as starting the British satire boom of the 1960s?
Great question. Don't know.
Mr. Bean. No.
That's Rowan Atkinson.
It's the only British comedy that I know.
Do you have any ideas, Lee?
I'm drawing a big old blank on this one.
You know, British comedy is so hard to get into as an American. I don't know if any other Americans feel that way.
There was,
I know people.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say people love
Monty Python.
Monty Python. Thank you. People love Monty Python, but I'm not a big Monty Python fan.
Well, that's a letdown.
The Office was a British sitcom, very popular.
Was it, though?
Yeah, it was.
I know.
I think I might have heard about The Office before the American remake.
Oh, no, I watched the British version of The Office before I watched the popular. American version, for sure.
Absolutely American Fabulous version. Is another sitcom. But did that start in the 60s? That was an 80s show, wasn't it?
I believe so. Ab Fab.
The IT Crowd.
British Satire.
Are we
satire
just naming boom. British shows? Is that what this comes
what
to?
What else do we have to suss
the
on?
The Office.
What's that car one?
Everything People Like in America, but they're first and less.
What's that car show that they have there?
Top Gear.
It's Top Gear.
No, that's. I think that's exactly what Mark's getting at, is we're going down the wrong path.
Dudley Moore. Oh. And who else?
Yeah, Dudley Moore, he was James Bond. Alan Bennett, Jonathan Miller.
Whoa, whoa, was that a joke?
No, Roger Moore, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Who's Dudley Moore?
I don't know. I was like, James Bond? Who's now Dudley Moore? Naming British we're things.
Fucked. We're just fucked.
This guy, you know, the old British show with James Bond.
Dudley Moore did a character, I hope I'm right here, named Arthur. He's kind of like, he kind of looks like Keith Moon, another famous Brit.
Mighty Boosh.
I mean, Jesus Christ, someone mute him.
I'll mute myself.
No.
Travel Man.
I mean, honestly, Arthur is a better guess than anything else we have, because I'm pretty sure he was the character Arthur in a thing. Who were the other people?
Alan Bennett, Jonathan Miller, Peter Cook, and Dudley Moore. Stage show.
I don't really know what that means. I mean, it's like, you know, like Middle Ditch and Schwartz. It's like some kind of, you know, maybe like the name of a troop or like a thing like ASCAT 5000. I can't think of it. I can't think of anything. And I refuse to sit here and just name arbitrary fucking 80s and 90s British TV.
I'm trying my hardest to remember what the robots are. Oh, Daleks. Thank you. Never mind. Figured it out.
Perfect.
Also not relevant. What's satire? So is it?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
United, like, what is it satirizing in the 1960s? Music? Is it like a rock and roll circus type thing?
Even if it is, are you going to be able to come up with a name?
I'm trying to suss.
Well,
I don't know. I'm saying things like Ab Fab, so like maybe you say, actually, that show did premiere in the 60s or something. I don't know.
Oh. The episode that pushed us over 4 hours. Can we get shock collars so if we suss too long, we get shocked to death?
So you just want to give up?
Yeah.
I apologize. I derailed this conversation. I started trying to make jokes because I didn't know.
No, I just don't. I get frustrated when I know I don't know something. I
think this is a very obscure thing.
I think I'm probably going to go... Okay, but there's no way I ever would have gotten that.
You'll have heard it maybe once. Yeah, I don't know. When did they say it debuted?
1960s.
I mean, come on. I mean, that's like...
Peter Cook is referred to as the father of modern satire. Let's see here. Uh-huh. It looks like the four-man group satirical stage show was called Beyond the Fringe. Beyond the Fringe answer that Matt was looking for.
Isn't like Fringe a big like stage thing that happens over in the UK?
Fringe? Is it? What's that?
Yes. I believe it's I would look it up if I had internet, but I don't. Okay. Fringe is, it's like they do a bunch of like stage shows, like plays, and it's like alternative. It's alt.
Fringe. Beyond the Fringe. Fringe theater is theater that is produced outside of the main theater institutions. So basically just theater anywhere.
Well, so, I mean, but I think it, I don't know. Maybe I should stop talking.
So this is even beyond the Fringe. This is so the Fringe beyond, is out there, and beyond. This is going even beyond that.
There's a Fringe. There's Area Beyond That. Then there's like another sub fringe out past that.
Right. That's a different group though. That's UCB, I think, is the sub fringe.
Yes. The state.
Well, what do you think? I like this question. I didn't know the answer. There was
I think it's really obscure.
Sure it is. I mean, but it's you know, it's British trivia from the 60s, which is, you know, some would say that baseball trivia is, I mean, all trivia can be obscure, like, right? I don't think that's knocking the question. Maybe it could use a little extra built-in hint, you know, something that indicates the name a little bit, but doesn't give it away, you know,
give it away now.
What far out comedy group, British comedy group, ooh, you know, some little hint beyond, you know, far out, something like that. I don't know.
The far
I would
side.
Give this, you know, it's a fine question on its own, but yeah, a little extra hint for sussing purposes.
I have
a little
hint.
Nugget.
I have a, this is a legitimate, like idea where if they had a specific bit that is famous, perhaps in the satire and comedy world, to give you context, like, you know, you might not know the name of the show, but you've seen this bit and maybe that would remind you of, like, oh yeah, it was on that show. I've seen, you know, something that they're famous for, instead of just giving you four names of actors.
Well, they did apparently start the satire boom. That they have a let's see here, the majority of the sketches, this is off Wikipedia. The majority of the sketches were by Cook and were largely based on material for other reviews. Cook and Moore revived some of the sketches on their later television and stage shows, most famously the two-hander. One leg, two few. One leg. That sounds like Greg Zipperline.
Yeah, Greg the one leg Zerline.
Z-back.
As he's so commonly
known. One leg,
known.
Two few. Yeah.
Greg the leg Z-back.
The sketch takes place in the office of a casting agent. Cook plays the agent and Moore, the prospective actor. A Mr. Spigot. This name was a favorite of Cook's and was reused as the earthly identity of the devil in Bedazzled. Cook begins the sketch by calling for a secretary to show the next auditioner into the office. Moore, a one-legged man, Captain Admiral, if you will, enters, hopping on his right foot. Moore's left leg is tied up behind him and obscured beneath an overcoat. Eventually, Moore comes to a stop, balanced on one leg. He's required to hold this position for most of the sketch. His difficulty in doing so occasioning much amusement from the audience. The premise of the sketch is then laid out as thus. Mr. Spigot, you are, I'm not going to read this whole
please
thing.
Please.
But they do apparently have a famous sketch.
Okay, good.
To answer the question. Fantastic. Yes. One leg too few. But yeah, I don't know. I give this a solid A. I don't know if I would say it's an A+. I think you could use just a little bit of spice.
I agree.
Yeah. But a solid question nonetheless, and sad we didn't know it, and I will be checking that out beyond the fringe.
I give it one leg out of two legs.
All right. One out of two ain't bad.
One leg tied up.
If
you want to write us with a rate my question, you could do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Or you could call us. You could call us with a rate my question, 1-929-356-6966. Mark, do you have a final question for
Boy,
us?
Boy, do I. I've just got to choose it.
If it's a question about a kicker in the NFL and his name's not Z-back.
All right,
kick his ass, Z-back.
Here's a question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
In the manga and hentai community, what is Ahegao?
Oh, man. I get to learn a new thing. I know what Shibari is now. And now, what is it?
I can't tell if he knows or not.
Okay. I don't.
What is it? One more time, Mark.
Ahegao. Ahegao. In the manga and hentai community, what is Ahegao?
Is it tentacle stuff?
I was going to say, if it's in the hentai community as well, it's got to be something. It's not going to be like, you know,
it's
apple
tentacles.
Pies.
It's always tentacles. That's the answer to all hentai manga anime.
So when you're searching for a haigao.
A haigao.
Oh, hey, gal.
Oh, hey, gal.
You're looking for tentacle porn, is what you're saying.
I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not? I'm just saying, if you're looking for tentacle porn,
I'm trying to think of another hentai tenet
is where you want to go.
Of hentai. And you said in manga as well, so it could be either perverse in nature or not. So tentacles would work because that could be perverse or not. Where some things would just be straight up perverse, like pooping in somebody's mouth. Like that's you're not going to draw that in anime and be like, oh, this is some non-hentai on Hegao. You know, that's like. That's just for the one.
Oh my god.
So I like tentacles basically is what I'm saying.
I feel like there's another name. I feel like there's another name for it, but what it is, I would have no idea.
Well, could it be anything else? What other things are there?
Freeze
frames, it could be something benign like you said manga and hentai, right? Not anime and hentai.
Yes.
Mark? Did you say manga?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. So that means
manga, manga and hentai.
So, I mean, Lee, I don't know if you know how comic books work, but every image is a freeze frame.
Right. I was thinking he said anime at first.
Okay.
You know.
So, yeah. In our being tied up.
That would be Shibari, I think.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I know now. I now know.
How he knows.
I know what to type now.
I mean, tentacles is a thing.
Yeah, it just seems so obvious for the final question, if we could meta a little bit, but maybe it is.
To be fair, though.
Mm-hmm.
You guys didn't think I was going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So it only seems obvious because I said it.
The answer. All right, maybe. But I'm just thinking, what else could it be?
What are other tropes of manga and hentai?
That they share. Big eyes.
Big eyes, big hair. Big breasts. Big breasts.
Big hair.
Big hair.
They're in both, often.
Torn clothing.
Mm-hmm. A hegao. Tentacles just feels right.
Cat people.
Hmm. I have no idea. A hegao, I don't know, translation-wise, what that would be.
Yeah.
Cat
we've people. Seen a lot of this stuff at comic conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Too much, one would say, probably.
So maybe it's you think it's like animal people, like furries?
Animal people?
I don't know, what would you call anthropomorphized animals?
Or is it just like ladies with cat ears?
Hmm.
You know, because they'll just look normal. And they have cat ears. But is that hentai? He's specifically saying hentai for a reason.
Yeah. Let's go with tentacles.
Tentacles.
It's incorrect.
Okay.
Is it cat people?
No. Ahegao is described as an exaggerated facial expression of characters, usually females during sex, typically with rolling or crossed eyes,
okay.
Protruding tongue, and slightly reddened face to show enjoyment or ecstasy.
This is that when face like, that's like
all yeah. The girls, all the young ladies make, right, where they stick their tongue out, they cross their eyes. Is that
and this
that
is now thing? Caught on in cosplay. And like video porn where women will do this when they are having an orgasm or pretending to have an orgasm. They stick their tongue out a little bit and cross their eyes, and it is very weird.
Isn't, you know,
gentlemen, sorry, not all at once.
No, I was just saying that you're
it's time for dude talk. Dudes react.
Dudes Well,
a legitimate spit take from Mark. We don't need it. Guys don't need it. Guy talk, guys don't need it.
Guys don't need that face.
Guys don't need it.
Coming soon to a profile picture near you.
Yes.
It's going to be my next drawing for my face, my next cartoon face for my profile.
You'll see a comic one day where all of the women's faces are drawn like that. You know, his name will be G.
Happened.
Frank Campbell. All these women have the same face.
Well, it's what I'm into.
I'm not pointing any fingers, any comic artists. Anyways, sandwiches is my final category for you guys. Sandwiches. I'm going to describe one, tell you a little story. You tell me the name of this famous type of sandwich.
Okay.
Consisting of 1 pound of bacon, a jar of peanut butter, and a jar of blueberry jam served on sourdough loaf. What is the name of the sandwich that captivated Elvis upon his 1976 visit to the Colorado Mining Company?
Boy.
I don't know this.
Yeah, I mean,
peanut butter.
I'm sure it has some really clever name.
Blueberry jam. It's like a PB&J with bacon. PB&J.
BJ&P.
Oh, yes. Blowjob and penis. All this blowjob and a penis,
blowjob, is a penis involved?
When you say that, it is just so captivating.
Yeah. A pee on the side.
What?
Well, you the blowjob, you know, is a penis involved? No, it's on the side. It's a BJ&P. It's a la carte.
It comes on the plate.
It comes on the plate. Oh my god.
Horrible choice of words. I don't know. What year did you say this was?
1976.
And you said it was Denver?
The Colorado Mining Company.
Colorado Mining Company.
It's called the Canary. The Dead Canary. Is it really a mining company, or is it just like a fancy name for a restaurant that's stupid?
It's a fancy name for a restaurant that's stupid.
Do they think that they have all mining things? Like, oh, here's the ore sandwich.
It's the 70s. They weren't that clever.
Fair enough.
It wasn't a bunch of hipsters owning a restaurant. We serve everything on bricks here. It's what we're called, bricks.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Don't take that idea. The BJ&P on sourdough.
We'll call it the pig.
Call it the Dead Canary.
Yeah, we'll call it the Dead Canary. What a dumb name.
That's wrong. You guys are barking up the right tree, though. Would be foolish to spit in the face of my built-in hint here. Yes, it's called the Colorado Mining Company. The sandwich is called the Fool's Gold Sandwich. Fool's Gold. Have you ever heard of that?
Never in a million years would I have known that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the name of the sandwich. Yeah, Elvis, apparently they got the call that Elvis was coming into the restaurant, and a bunch of cops came in. And one came over, I guess it's like kind of a, you know, small town, everybody knows each other. So one of them came over to the waiter and said, he wants to take your order, and pointed to one of the cops, and it was Elvis dressed in a cop uniform for some reason. It's like, I guess he's trying to blend in.
Was that like his, didn't he want to be like in the FBI when Nixon was president?
Yes, I think he did, but this was totally different. This was after a show. And apparently this was the place
everybody that I just have a cop uniform.
Right. This was the place that all the security took Elvis or took rock stars and pop stars when they came through. They took them to this Colorado Mining Company. And Elvis asked a young Nick Andrelakis what he should have. And Andrelakis suggested the Fool's Gold sandwich, which he served to him with 2 pounds of fruit, according to a 2014 interview with the Denver Post. Imagine this sandwich in and of itself. It's already a pound of bacon, a jar of peanut butter, and a jar of blueberry jam. What else do you need? 2 pounds of fruit on the side. 2 pounds of
fruit.
Yeah.
Give me some fruit.
2 pounds of fruit.
Give me 2 pounds of fruit.
Give me some fruit.
That's like 6 oranges.
Give me some 2 pounds of fruit and also some horsey sauce.
Yeah, I want. Hey, baby, give me 6 oranges with this
so,
bacon.
Hey, little man, put me up with some fruit. Give me 2 pounds of fruit.
Give me a bag of oranges, baby.
A little extra trivia about the sandwich. Elvis liked it so much, Mark, that he actually flew a private. He took a private flight just to order a bulk order for Lisa Marie Presley's birthday.
I have heard that story. That story I've heard.
Yes.
Where he went to Colorado to get a sandwich, but yeah,
he ordered many. He was one for me and 10 for the road.
I'll need 10 for my baby, my sweet baby, and this won't get soggy on the plane ride back, right?
Can you put the blueberry jam in an extra bag so I can put it on later?
Can I get this deconstructed so I can make it home?
A lot of people don't know this, but in reality, the way he got back and forth to Denver was Epstein's plane.
No.
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
What? I was going to say, that's the dates don't match up there.
Something doesn't link up here.
All right.
Justin.
Well.
What a way to go out.
Tell me, you know how many fucking episodes of this show where I go, wow, so that's that, huh? That's going to be.
That's
going to be the end of that. Everybody. Okay. Well, there you go.
That's how we're going to end that.
And there's that.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us here on another No Nonsense Trivia podcast. Before
of course.
We say goodbye, is there anything that you want to plug, have our listeners check out?
They can just go wait for me to post some stuff on my Instagram page, at Justin Peterson.
Lots of cool art up there.
Just sit there and wait.
So you know, even if it's not new art that I'm posting, I still have old art that is just as good.
Well, you got some new stuff up, didn't I? See, you put up a Hellboy drawing and a Rick and Morty.
I believe that was on my Twitter page.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll
post it on Instagram tomorrow.
There you go. It'll be up before you know it. Check those out.
That's right.
Justin is just an incredible artist, and his Hellboy and Rick and Morty are no exception. So give him a follow, because you're always going to enjoy what pops up there.
Hopefully.
Yes.
If not, there'll be another drawing. I'll make it up to you.
Very good. All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform.
Tell your friends to do it, too.
Yeah. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. It's been about a month since we got a review. I don't like complaining about not getting reviews, but certainly somebody has discovered us.
You gotta put the pressure
on past month. Certainly somebody has, and they could leave us a review.
Come on, guys, you can go make fake accounts. Go make a burner account and leave a new review.
If you're someone like, yeah, least you can do. Let's say CJ, for instance, who wrote that wonderful letter to us last week. We love the letters. Yeah. We do. Please keep sending them. However, also, if I can be honest, write a review, if you haven't.
It really helps.
I'm gonna go
us.
Make a burner account tonight.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, just make one. Make Aaron make one too, and tell her you'll divorce her if she doesn't.
Will do.
Don't do that. That's too far. But well,
it's too far.
Unless you feel like you're comfortable doing it.
Baby, make a burner account.
You can support us on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Speaking of Patreon, we want to give a gigantic shout out to all of our Patreon supporters. And when do I say that? Who in the hell do I mean? Well, I'll tell you. I mean our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim. I'm talking about our team captains like Sean, Lydia, Gil,
It's Gil.
Kristen Fletcher, Rachel Aaron, and David Holbrook to the third power. I'm also talking about those proverbial light keepers like Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And last and probably least of all, because they give us the least amount of money, thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike Cakes in the Urnal with Gene Simmons' face on him.
Michael S.
Mike Sandwiches Made a Fool's Goal.
And Michael J.
Mike Judo is the Gentle Way.
And Michael Just Kidding About the Money Thing. Thank you guys for supporting us. We appreciate it.
If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Had a couple people join this past week. We appreciate it.
Awesome.
Yes, fantastic.
Thank you.
Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. There's also a whole page for No Nonsense Trivia, period. Make sure you like that also for information about when and where Lee is streaming and where he's dreaming. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Even if it's only burner accounts.
Yes.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.